Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and tonight I'd like to welcome back to the show the one and only Robert Stanley. How you doing, Robert?
Doing well, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. And tonight, the first thing I'd like to talk about is one of the things I cover a lot of is sky phenomenon and UFO sightings. And it seems that there's been a recent uptick in those sightings. Is that something that you've encountered yourself?
Yeah, if you go to my website at unicusmagazine.com, you can see some photographs of UFOs I took here in Hong Kong July 21st. I was actually just taking pictures of Mars. I didn't see the fleet of UFOs, and that's what it is. It looks like a fleet of UFOs. Although it appears they're around Mars in the photograph, they couldn't be because I'm only using a 500-millimeter lens, so that means they had to be somewhere between my camera and Mars, probably pretty close. It's hard to say for sure, but they're pretty large, actually, in the picture, so I'm thinking they had to be fairly close.
Yeah, and Mars is extremely bright and beautiful right now, isn't it?
I've never seen it like that, man. It's unbelievable here on a clear night. Most of the time, it's not clear because we're right on the ocean or the South China Sea and the harbor. But that particular night, I was amazed at how clear it was, extraordinarily clear. And I set up my camera, a Nikon D500 with a 500 millimeter lens on a tripod, and I'm shoot. I took all these pictures, and then after I looked at them, I was like, wait a minute, what's all this stuff? I mean, it's one thing to see stars in the background, but the stars aren't supposed to be moving. The star pattern can't move. I mean, that's just impossible. So that means it had to be, and some people have asked me, well, those could have been drones, and I don't think so. I would have seen it or heard something if there were that many drones in the sky. That's what happened.
Yeah. And it seems, you know, I myself have never seen a UFO. I mean, I've seen a lot of strange sky phenomenon, some weird things that I couldn't identify. But it seems that some people have more sightings than others. Would that seem correct?
Yep. Yes, it is. And I'm not sure exactly why, but it's happened to me that way for sure. And in fact, again, if you're on my website at the homepage, unicusmagazine.com, you'll see the pictures I took in July 21st. And you'll see other pictures I've taken over the years of UFOs over my house where I was living at the time, specifically Rhode Island and Manhattan Beach. I wish I could have photographed everything that I've seen in my life. That would be amazing. But at some point it becomes redundant. I mean, honestly, it's like, I know I'm being contacted, but not in the way that I'm comfortable with. It's like, I would like to be able to have a dialogue like this with them instead of just seeing the lights dancing around. It's like, that's just infuriating at some point. Like, I mean, I know they can read my thoughts and that there's some level of connectivity, consciousness, whatever. But if we're just left here guessing as to who they really are, what do they want, why are they here, all that stuff.
Well, and I know at some point in your life you had some sort of a contact, whether it be conscious or unconscious, isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, it started in Malibu in 1985 with a particular being, said he was my father. There was a lot of UFO encounters out there, but eventually, let's see, 1990, I started working as editor of Unicus magazine, and that's when I actually, we were reaching out to people. The subtitle of Unicus is the magazine for Earthbound Extraterrestrials. So naturally, we were looking for people that claimed that they were extraterrestrials here on Earth. So I did meet two human beings, both men, who claimed that they were human extraterrestrials here. So, I mean, it's impossible to prove, okay?
Right, yeah.
But we were trying, and I'm doing the same thing on my radio show. I'm just putting it out there that extraterrestrials, whether they're human or not, are welcome to be part of the program.
And I have actually made that call out myself on my show.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I'd love to speak with, you know, it'd be up to the audience to decide whether they're telling the truth or not. But, you know, love to speak with somebody who claims to be an extraterrestrial.
Yeah, well, there's somebody out there right now. You may have seen him on the YouTube. A guy named Eddie claims his dad is Val Thor or Anu or whatever. I mean, anybody can say anything, especially on the internet. There's really, it's not like the old days of journalism where, you know, somebody or some group of people, so-called journalists, would go out and vet stories. And usually they would never report it if they didn't have at least two sources, independent sources, supposedly to lend more credibility to the information. I think even back then, though, there was most of it was just propaganda.
Yeah, and they have some really crazy out there whistleblowers, you know, quote unquote whistleblowers now that are just, I think it's a lot of disinformation myself. What about you?
Yeah, unfortunately. And that would go for even this guy, Eddie. I do think that, I mean, he admits that he had been spent a period of years working with or for the CIA. And it seems to me that he's under some sort of mind control and doesn't even realize it. And he also said when he first went public with his story about being a human extraterrestrial here, that he admittedly lied that his CIA hypnotherapist or hypnotist, whatever you want to call it, therapist, handler, was actually sitting in the audience while he was lying to the you know, it's just like, but he had to tell us this lie before he could tell us the truth. I mean, that just doesn't, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't trust a lot of those. And you know, the more research I do and the more people I talk to and listening to you, I start to realize, you know, we probably are in a simulation. I mean, would you say it's more of a training ground or a prison or both? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point. Both. I'd have to say it's both. I mean, I don't know that it originally started out that way. I mean, it's hard to say. It kind of came up again recently. A couple different sources, authors, had said that some of these Anunnaki criminals, psychopaths, were actually imprisoned here, or I should say are imprisoned here. And the analogy was like Australia, you know, the British crown didn't ask the Aborigines of Australia, hey, do you mind terribly if we drop off some of our undesirables, right, some of our criminal element, you know? For whatever reason, it happened, okay? And that's, it explains a lot as to why psychopaths rise to the top here, typically, and aren't prosecuted properly, in my opinion, and also why there's no disclosure. I mean, full disclosure about the extraterrestrial presence. I mean, even like with the work of Zachary Sitchin, he kept claiming that they had left, when in fact he knew that they were still here. At least some contingent of them was still here. Or, you know, I mean, it's confusing, and yes, it's designed at some level. I do think this is being permitted because it challenges us in a way that allows us to grow.
So you said they're still here. Do you think they're just in a different vibration or a different dimension?
No, I think many of them are physical like you and I.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's why it's easy for them to blend in. Well, we're part of their family, okay? It's not like they're up here and we're the lowly worker. They would love for us to believe it. When in fact, well, you look at, again, let's go back to Australia. The Aboriginal people supposedly are primitive and don't have technology, right? But they have other skills that the rest of us lack. And I think that their spiritual awareness is very high, if I understand who they really are. And that would, so you take that analogy and you apply it to us. I believe that we have an interdimensional, we still have an interdimensional component, and we are not imprisoned here. So, in fact, we have more certain skills that these fallen Anunnaki psychopathic criminals don't. So they actually need us. This is why they want to control us and lie to us and trick us, is because even though they were imprisoned here, they can, if they can convince us under false pretenses to do certain things that will actually benefit them, then they can, at some point, they're probably thinking that they could break out with our help. And I think that's where the secret space program came from.
So they're essentially stuck here with us.
Yeah, you could put it that way. I mean, so that would also explain why this world, whether it's a simulation or not, I don't think it was originally that way. I do think the simulation came later. And now I'm starting to wonder if what we call a simulation wasn't actually part of the way of containing or quarantining these particular psychopathic Anunnaki prisoners.
That's very interesting. Now, is there a divine source or creator that created the whole simulation?
I imagine there is, but I do think it's being run by an artificial intelligence. I don't know if it originally started that way, but it seems to me completely synthetic in that regard. It's like overlaid on what was originally organic. And so it's dominating, manipulating, controlling, but it didn't create anything except this false matrix that's overlaid on top of it. Like a hologram on top of a hologram, basically.
Well, do you think this entity is something that's always been or at created at some point?
Oh, well, look, if we're talking about a soul like Enki or Lucifer, then yes, of course, he has to have been created. He has a family. And a lot of that information is available in my library for free. You know, I mean, I just share the information. I'm not trying to sell anything. Most of everything actually on my website is free. And I don't have any ads. I hate ads. So in any case, this is a very special time we're living through, because it appears that disclosure obviously is not going to come from official sources because they're involved. They talk about collusion. You know, these guys really, it's not even that. It's a whole nother level where they're essentially pawns. And I think some of them know it, but they don't know how to break free of that bondage to these particular entities. And but yeah, there are also divine beings here. I mean, you think about it. Okay, so back to Australia. When they put all those criminals in these particular penal camps, they had oversight. They had, you know, officers in charge of law enforcement. They didn't just let them run around completely doing whatever they wanted, because they were dangerous. So the same is true for these particular Anunnaki that are imprisoned here. There has to be some oversight or law enforcement.
Now, these elites, I mean, it seems that some of them just have no soul. Are there people that are just soulless, that are just part of this simulation?
Yeah, you know, so I'm learning something about that. I've always resisted the idea because it seemed very counterintuitive that there could be anything living here that was soulless. But yes, the matrix itself is a program, and then within it, it's created programs that have no soul attached to it. So the thing about synthetic life is it's not coming from the source of all souls. It's something artificial. And so the other thing is, I'm trying to think, what was the connection I came up with recently? It'll come to me in a second. Go ahead.
Oh, well, no, as for these people here that, you know, are part of the simulation, do they even know that they're...
Yes. Okay, so there's a book in my library called The Stellar Man. Please look it up. This is a very difficult read. It's in English, but it's very sobering. It's difficult to accept that we have been hoodwinked so bad and... connected to this matrix, this computer-like simulation, to the point where we've become robotic animals. They wanted us to go down that route so our consciousness would be so under their control that it would be to their advantage, serving their agenda. So the book, The Stellar Man, is coming from a place of hermeticism. That would be based on the teaching of Hermes, who's also known as Thoth, or Mercury, or Quetzalcoatl, or Viracocha, or Gabriel, or more recently I discovered his other identity name would be Babaji, which means benevolent father. So the teachings of Hermeticism take us beyond the matrix. Even though we're still here, we can actually start to go beyond it, but it's a very difficult process. very few people have the ability or the courage to practice those insights. It's really what it is. It's a personal thing. It's not a group think. It's not religious. It's a process. And you have to do that individually. Yes, you can ask for help, but ultimately it comes down to one's individual consciousness. So this is, again, I think in what I was raised in, self-realization under Paramahansa Yogananda, that this is essentially what it is. Babaji, also Hermes, Thoth, whatever you want to call him, he has been our benefactor. He is one of the spiritually ascended masters that is here until things get corrected. Because again, it was unfair, and it's obviously a violation of our free will. And more importantly, it's impeding our ability to evolve as souls in the true creation. So the Matrix is actually serving a purpose that was, for whatever reason, I don't think it was its the original intent, for whatever it was, there's the unintended consequences that this particular classroom setting is testing us on many levels. And if once we go past those levels, we've actually become much stronger. So it's an opportunity.
Speaking of that, now, are there ways to, reach these levels without actually dying? And is even death reaching another level?
Well, it is if you're prepared for it. And that's why Thoth wrote the book, the so-called Book of the Dead. It's actually should be spelled the Book of the Jed, D-J-E-D. What the Jed is actually a symbolic of the Tree of Life or the Kundalini, the chakra system. So this is something, if you work on it prior to the physical death, your spirit will have a much better time negotiating those other realms of existence beyond this one.
And it seems that there are certain things that kind of help to keep us from realizing who we are and what we are in this. And technology is one of those things, I believe. There's a lot of good things about it, but there's a lot of really malevolent and evil things. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, actually, there's an article. If you go to unicusmagazine.com, click on articles, scroll down. There's one about our body actually glows, emits a light. I forget the exact title. But what it proves is that, so the light coming off of our body, the frequency coming out of the DNA, that light is, some of it is feeding back to give us a sense of self. Some of it is also interacting just like through this medium here. Some portion of our light energy consciousness is being exchanged. It isn't just verbal, especially when we're face to face, but even through this medium, the speed of thought is beyond what we think of or choose to believe as the speed of light, which is a lie. It's a very huge, another one of the great big lies they told us. But the bottom line is the cell phone technology, especially now with 5G, is vibrating about on the same frequency as the light emitted from our bodies. So what this is doing intentionally is cutting us off from not only from having a sense of self, but also connecting to others. And more importantly, connecting to what is beyond this matrix is a web of light. That is where we come from. That is where we return to as souls. And everything is connected in this web of light. And this is why Kriya Yoga, not as a religious thing, but as an actual technique, a process, a scientific, repeatable process, it's proven to work. We have the so-called out-of-body experience. And this is where the baptism of spirit comes from. And by meditating on this particular sound, when we generate this sound of Om, it's not a name, it's not a title, it's a sound. And it's just like when you tune into a radio station. You know, you turn your radio tunes into this particular frequency, and now you got the lock, and then you can actually hear the signal. The same is true for us here, without dying. You know, we can tune into that particular frequency and connect with the web of light. This is also known as the being born again in spirit. You need the baptism of spirit they typically call these web, this web is it's actually like rivers or streams of light, sometimes oceans of light, just like on the planet, you know, you have streams, rivers, oceans. In the cosmos, you have these, the light consciousness energy is constantly flowing through and connecting to itself. So when we've been here, especially when we've been here too long and we're involved in these technologies and other issues that distract us, we lose that connectivity to the cosmic web of light. Now, the other thing is the tree of life that they talk about in the Bible is actually, I now understand it as the tree of light. And what that is it's a metaphor for our, the chakra system, the Kundalini, the Jed, as they called it in Egypt, as the energy runs up through the spine and out through those particular chakra, whatever you want to call them, the conduits, those little spinning wheels of energy, the little vortices of energy that run through the body and like branches of a tree. So the tree of light is actually a metaphor for the physical body.
Wow, that's very interesting. And not only, you know, are they trying to program us with, you know, cell phones and technology, it seems like with the food and water and the air, everything is changing our vibration, would you say?
Excuse me. God, there's dust in this room. try not to sneeze. So, yes, you're right. Everything in this particular world is designed to distract us and also control us. I mean, this entire matrix, this particular level of reality is designed for around competition and control. So it's very difficult to break free of that. It takes a lot of courage and effort. I mean, persistent effort. You can't just pick it up one day and say, oh, you know, I'm going to achieve enlightenment. But, these Archon Anunnaki, whatever you want to call them, fallen angels, dark lords, they're imprisoned here. They're not omnipotent, and there are restrictions placed upon them and what they can do to us. And they don't want us to know that, obviously, because that would it would make it very much more difficult for them while they're here. So that's something we have to keep in mind is there, we have a lot more ability or capability or potential that is now awakening, and that's why they're freaking out and acting more increasingly desperate.
Now, would you say the entire universe is part of this simulation? Is it like a giant interface, or is it your each different kind of world its own simulation?
Okay, so beyond this particular matrix, I don't think it's the entire, it's not really even a universe. It's just it's a simulation of a universe within a particular universe. And why am I saying that is because there isn't just one universe. There's multiple. There may be infinite numbers of universes that are created by an infinite number of creator gods. It's a co-creation. Who knows where this started? Okay, it may have started with a singularity or a single entity, but that entity has like a tree of light. And it ultimately became mature enough that it bore seeds of light. That would be us. And we're still in the seedling phase. But I'm just saying that's how we got here. It's a very organic process. So there are an infinite number of creators. And the thing what I like about all this is, in fact, we're related to all these other entities. And that's one of the reasons they're very concerned about us and want to connect with us in a way that's going to be acceptable to us, because we've been lied to so many times about so many things. It's very difficult for us to even comprehend some of the things that they would like to share with us. And especially when it comes to the emotions that they feel, it's just overwhelming. I'm talking about the benevolent beings now. It's just, it's really impossible to put into words how they look at us. I'll just tell you this way briefly, is that the way they made it clear to me. that their love for us is never ending, which is, it's kind of hard to believe considering how brutal we are, and have been, I should say, for so long, relatively speaking. I mean, time is not here. It's limited. Our understanding of time is actually an illusion, and it's blinding us from seeing the bigger picture, and more importantly, connecting with the rest of the family.
And these benevolent ones, would you say that there's possibly a war going on with the malevolent aliens or ETs?
Okay, from the dark side believes it is at war because they feel threatened. Their ego, their way of life is threatened indirectly by those of us that are in the light. The benevolent ones naturally are not aggressive and would never start a war. But, you know, at some point they have to defend themselves, and more importantly, limit the amount of damage that the Dark Lords could do, have done, or could do in the future. So, you know, it's an act of kindness, actually, what they did by bringing them here. Because where else are they going to put them? I mean, there's only so many places they could possibly put them, right? Like, nobody wants a prison in their backyard, right?
Right.
Okay, but they have to put them somewhere. They have to be dealt with. I mean, just exterminating them is completely inhumane, and anybody who's benevolent would never do that, especially when you consider, from their perspective, that we're all family. You don't just kill your family members because they're crazy.
Now, you were saying that, you know, earlier that levels, the deepest levels of the deep state have contact with these beings.
Of course they do, because they're controlled by it. And at some point they realize that. There's a Dutch banker that has come forward, especially in his more recent interview. He actually just said, they're Luciferian, they're satanic, they are extraterrestrial and extra-dimensional. What he didn't say, though, is those particular entities are stuck here. It's an important distinction, okay? It's not like they have remained this particular world, or maybe even it could be the whole solar system is quarantined. I'm not sure, because it seems like they're not just limited to this world.
Very interesting. Now, there seem to have been all these cataclysms throughout our history. Do they intentionally reset the matrix at times, or is this natural occurrences?
Well, it's nothing about this is natural. Oh. It's an overlay on top of the natural system. Okay, one of the things that's consistent in this particular simulation is that it's all about destruction, chaos, cruelty, corruption. Again, this is all about control. They need to control us. So one of the ways they do that is to, and I think that's really why they altered our DNA. It wasn't to turn us into workers, although we do serve them. That's what the word worship actually means, to work for. So we do worship them under various guises of, you know, oh, it's a god, it's an angel, it's a lord, whatever. I mean, they gave us our modern religion. The fallen ones actually did give us our religion, which would explain why they all fight with one another. They all disagree.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, so most of the religions were created for control, for deliberate control, correct?
Unfortunately, yeah. And so that's the other thing that's going to be difficult for some people to accept. Because there is a level of comfort. When a person joins a religion, it isn't just about God. It's about groupthink. It's about fitting in. And feeling like you actually abdicate some of your personal responsibility when you're in a group. Think when you follow the rules like that, you don't have to take personal responsibility as much for your thoughts and deeds, because it's all in a book, and the priest said so, and whatever, the Pope or something, you know, you just follow the rules of that group as opposed to actually finding your own path. It's which can be a little frightening in this world, actually. They don't encourage it, let's put it that way.
So what do you think goes on at the Vatican. What do you think that whole construct is about? Is it Luciferian?
Yeah, Luciferian, satanic. That would be Anki and his son Marduk. And I don't know if they're imprisoned here or not. It's hard to say. I mean, these things are evolving, as you know. The thing is, I'm working on this every day because personally, I feel I have a need to know. I have a right to know these things, even though they are hidden and very much twisted, deeply mangled, you know, layers of lies. I mean, there's a little bit of truth mixed in with layers and layers and layers and layers of lies. So it's a difficult task to unravel these things. But, you know, as I get new information, my understanding of this evolves. And that's why I do shows like this. And I also put whatever information is coming to me, I put it on my internet for other people to look at.
And we definitely appreciate that, Robert.
Well,
it seems, I've been thinking that the divine feminine, you don't hear anything about the divine feminine anymore. Is that intentionally suppressed?
Yeah, of course, because this is much like the mafia is very patriarchal. So these criminals, these cosmic criminals that are here are, it's very much a male dominated thing. And they know that they don't have that level of creativity that divine feminine embodies. That in fact, everything about the creative process at its very core is a feminine matrix. And so they can't compete with that. And that's why they push it out as much as possible. This Me Too, hashtag Me Too movement isn't really for the benefit of women, or let alone the divine feminine. It's just further a level of control to keep us divided down in this particular realm.
And do you think that's where they're going with the whole transhumanism?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it. Again, it's a perversion of nature as we know it. Whereas actually, you know, I'm pretty sure all the life here was symbiotic, and that humans, as we consider ourselves, were hermaphrodite. So even though we may look like we were females, we were in fact, we had both, and both sex organs, or whatever you call it. We had the capacity to give birth on our own because we were hermaphrodite. I should say the original life forms here were that. And I'm sure they are on other worlds too, are still. That hasn't changed.
Very, very interesting. So going back to when I had asked you about the resets, do you think that we are in store for another reset?
Probably.
Really? And now, is this something that we could control at all?
No, we can only control our own consciousness or understanding of these things. That again, most of it, mostly synthetic. It's criminal and it's beyond our control. It's not really our responsibility. We're only responsible for our own consciousness and our deeds. So, I don't know what the percentage is, but there are a number of us souls that either have awakened or are awakening now, that will find a way out. Now, whether it's on our own or if we're going to get in assistance like refugees, I do think there's a possibility that a lot of us are going to migrate out of here in the very near future. In the next few years, I think that we'll see, as disclosure comes unofficially, disclosure is coming, it's already happening. And people are waking up and they're making choices based on that information that's coming out. I feel from benevolent sources that people are souls are going to choose to leave. They've just had enough and they have every right to do that. This was a huge violation on some level, but it was always known by the benevolent ones that this was not permanent. It's not an eternal sentence and damnation, you know. It was a temporary situation. They've been watching over us to make sure we didn't get harmed too badly. And they've been guiding us so that we can learn from these it's, think of it like this. When you go to school, you have a test. Once you pass this particular test, let's say first grade, right? You've graduated from the first grade. They've given you all kinds of tests on this level. Well, where do you go? The next level. Right. And it's like that, right? You keep going, going, going until you're supposedly done with that. And it's not mandatory. You don't, I mean, supposedly you have to go to school here, right? Otherwise they come and get you and force you to learn their indoctrination. And I'm talking about public schools, right? Every child just has to go through the system to be programmed. But I was fortunate I didn't have to do that so much. I actually started, I think it was junior high, is I was traveling with my parents. So I took correspondence courses in order to graduate from junior high. Then the same thing happened in high school. And so I learned how to educate myself. And in fact, that's part of the hermetic process, is realizing that you can't expect someone to give you all the answers, and especially in a group setting by joining a religion or a cult or whatever, and, you know, waving a magic wand and all that stuff. That doesn't work. You have to do it individually, become self-realized. So, yeah.
So for someone who's just waking up to all the crap around them and just overwhelmed, is it possible for them to be able to ascend when you say this this window is going to occur?
Yeah, it's, I don't like that word, but yeah, I know people use it a lot. I think of it more as liberation. We're able to leave this setting. It's like, hey, look, if you can't spend your entire life in a classroom, you have to, at some point, you have to leave the classroom and go out and live in the so-called real world. And apply whatever you've learned here in the real world. So that's what it's an opportunity. We're not really evolving or ascending. I think we're being given the opportunity to leave this particular matrix at a time that's beneficial for us, because we choose to do that. And it's going to be amazing. It's kind of hard to explain to you, but I'll put it this way. In my library, there's a new book, The Extraterrestrial Anunnaki. He's the third son of Enki, brother of Marduk, which is kind of weird. Yeah, there's a book in my library. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so there's a book in my library called Babaji the Extraterrestrial. It's very difficult to read, but essentially Babaji is, like I said, the brother of Marduk, or Ra, also known as Satan. He's the third son of Enki, also known as Lucifer. So it's kind of strange that such a divine being or ascended master would come from that particular family, but he did. He does. And there's a lot of important insights in that particular book. If you find it too difficult, I would suggest you read the 43rd chapter of Autobiography of a Yogi. And why is that important? Yogananda's guru, Sri Yukteswar, when he physically passed away, he came back, allegedly came back in his astral body and spoke to Yogananda and explained to him what the multiverse really is. All the different levels, from the highest level of source to the causal plane, to the astral plane, to the physical plane that we're at now. So this is very helpful because it gives you a perspective of the real big picture. And he even talks in there about the dark angels, the fallen ones. They're imprisoned. He says this. He says they're imprisoned in the lower astral. So it's a very, very insightful book. Now, I read that when I was a child, and I've read it a few times after that. But only recently, when I read it again, it actually for the first time made sense to me. I mean, the full on, I could see it all in a way that I'd never seen before, which is it's a sign that I personally am having these realizations, this awareness. But we have to act on it. You know, we have to act on these insights. And so one of the things that I've done is become vegetarian again. Meditating by itself is one thing, but you have to take care of your body in order for it to function well, to be a good conduit or connection to the web of light for your consciousness, for your soul. Okay, so certain foods definitely help us have a different level of vibration or light. So this is, and actually this is well known even outside religious circles, that certain foods contain more energy, more life, as opposed to especially the processed foods with all the chemicals and whatnot. Those are designed to really lower our frequency as much as possible without killing the body.
Yeah, and it's so hard to find good food. You know, if you're gonna buy it, it's gonna be so expensive. They try to do anything to keep you from getting the good nutrition that your body needs.
Yeah, and water too, like you said, and air and whatever. But we can control this, and it's a choice. We are fixated with the idea of having protein, when in fact what we're really looking for is light. So when we leave this particular plane and we move to the Akashic and then the causal plane, what we consider to be our vehicle, our body, the expression of the soul, an extension of the soul, the vehicle, we absorb the light. We just absorb it like a plant absorbs sunlight. There was a time in the past when that actually was the case here. Our bodies actually have something similar to chlorophyll. It's not called that. It's something else, and I forget the name of it. It's some scientific name, but our bodies don't have much of it now, but if we had more of it in our blood, we would be able to just absorb the light directly. We are absorbing light indirectly through our food. And it's so, again, certain foods contain more of that light energy.
Very interesting. And this opportunity to escape, you think this is being offered to us by the benevolent ones?
Well, of course. They don't want us to be stuck here. I mean, you know, you think about it. Your family wants you to come home from school. I went through this recently when we moved to Hong Kong. He stayed behind for a couple of years. And he came to visit us when he was on summer and winter break. But the separation anxiety that actually made me depressed. And I know he was feeling it as well. So I use that as an analogy that our family beyond this matrix actually misses us and is looking forward to the day when some of us choose to leave here and come home.
So where do you see us as a planet going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, we're going to go into so-called outer space and colonize the moon and Mars. And I think we've already done this secretly on behalf of these particular fallen angels, dark lords, whatever you want to call it, again, to serve their agenda, assist them in some fashion secretly. But now we see that this is being talked about openly every day. I talk about it a lot on my show, not just my opinion. I comment on things in the news, like this latest thing that they've developed, the Space Force, this new branch of the military. The current head of NASA has said that the military is going to go to the moon. Despite whatever treaties we have with the UN, I mean, it's like they're saying, screw you. We're really good at breaking treaties, just ask the Native Americans. And we're going to do what we want because it's within our national interest, or what they sometimes call manifest destiny.
So you think we already have operations on Mars and the moon?
What do you mean, America or shadow government?
Shadow government, of course.
Yeah, yes. Yes, absolutely. I know they do.
Yeah. So do you know how long we've had this going? I mean, has it been, you know, decades or longer?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely decades. I mean, for sure, the German secret societies were, I think, baited into this, thinking it was somehow going to benefit them. I don't think it worked out well for them. Ultimately, you know, this is the thing. You may have temporary, if you may cut a deal with these particular entities, They may give you something initially, but then you owe them. It's just like the mob. I'm telling you, these guys are criminals, and they're very good at tricking people into these arrangements, deals that serve their agenda. So yeah, it's been going on for some time.
Now, do you think they know about this upcoming opportunity or
Do you think this
makes them nervous?
Yeah, it's totally freaking them out, because they need, now we're talking about the Dark Lords, not the shadow government.
Right. Yes.
The Dark Lords absolutely need us, or they think they need us. They don't want to be just stuck here by themselves. Without us, they've lost certain advantages and or abilities that they're using us to, like a tool, essentially. And they also feed off of some of the dark energy that comes off us when we hurt ourselves or others. So they need our creativity. They need our cosmic consciousness or light energy. Of course, it's perverted into something very dark. You know, that's what I was telling you before. Our body emits light, but through the DNA. But when we hurt ourselves or others, the light frequency shifts to something that is very dark and distorted, or they call it dissonant. It's no longer resonant and harmonious. It's this dissonant energy, and that's actually what they feed off of. So they really do see us as a resource and tools, basically pawns. They're pawns. So yes, they don't want us leaving. That's not going to help them.
So one of the best ways to get on your journey, you would say, is good diet, good works, and meditation. Getting to know yourself and going within yourself, would you agree?
Yeah, it's through the heart, not the mind. You have to open your heart and go within. And it's actually a vortices. It's a spiraling inward. And that's what opens the door to the great beyond. So the thing about meditation is most people think it's just you're going to stop all the thought process. And I disagree. We're not designed like that. We need to have at least one thing to focus on. And it's actually very difficult. I just don't think it's possible. I know people claim that they can stop thinking about everything. I just don't believe it. Nobody is brave enough to just admit it. Oh, no, I can't stop that. What you can do, though, is by focusing, this is why they show you a mandala, or you chant, you repeat a chant. It allows you to focus on one thing. And the more you can focus on one thing, the other stuff kind of fades back. And so meditation is really a form of deep, deep, deep concentration. But what are we concentrating on? Hopefully it's reconnecting to this web of light. And the process is, again, that's what Kriya Yoga is really at the core of it all. It's about reconnecting us. And that's actually what yoga means. It's a union or connectivity. So this comes to us from this particular entity, Babaji, Benevolent Father. And I told you, he has many different names. And many people actually love him. They just don't understand how much he loves us, because he chose to stay here, knowing what a mess it really is. He chose to stay here and really be our spiritual father. And what does that mean? I mean, well, when you take care of a child, you make sure that they don't get hurt, and you nurture their growth. You can't do things for them, but you can help nurture them, right? So that's what he's been doing. I'm 58. I only now finally understand the role he's played in my life and is still playing in my life. It's really quite astonishing.
Yeah, and is this a physical entity that could come back at some point?
He never left. Yeah, he can express himself in physical form, but he is way beyond that. He's a self-realized master, what they call an avatar, or more specifically, a Maha avatar. He is very high level soul, but he chose to stay behind. And that particular concept or act is called a bodhisattva. So instead of him just going off into the higher realms and saying, hey, good luck, he stays here until the work is done, till the last soul chooses to leave. It's an incredible undertaking. But you know, think of it this way: he knows he's immortal. He chooses to be immortal. He knows he's an immortal soul. He can express himself in whatever vehicle at whatever time he wishes to. So, and because he's multidimensional, it's not a problem. It's not like he's stuck here and suffering from karma or the whatever torment. You know, he's always focused. Some part of him always exists at this level and this level and this level. That's what a multidimensional being is all about.
Wow, very fascinating. And Robert, yeah. I want to thank you again for joining us. Is there anything interesting you have upcoming that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, I was on Coast to Coast again yesterday with George Norrie. That was pretty interesting. I mean, I think we've been doing that for almost 12 years now, yeah. Doing that show. So I was grateful. I mean, that's how I got started as a talk show host, was doing that show originally back in 2006. So yeah, I'm actually enjoying hosting my own radio show on weekends on KGRA, Friday and Saturday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern. But I'm also working on my next book, which is about Malibu and not just my life growing up there, but the hidden history of the Anunnaki, these fallen ones, some very interesting artifacts and other events that, I think people will find it very interesting once I get that done.
Oh yeah, be looking very forward to that. Well, Robert, thank you again for joining us. It was an awesome conversation, and we'd love to have you back on again.
And thank you.
Have an awesome night, Robert.
All right, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.